And I will be doing a sharing on rejoicing and exalting. But before that, I'll give a little testimony. I think this is good because of Aaron. So I was in Hobby Lobby, and there's a girl there, you know, with her Red Cross. And she's blind and has a dog. I've seen her there before with the Red Cross, I mean last year. And I felt like giving her a prophecy, but I wasn't quite sure. And so I ended up leaving, and I sat in the car. I wasn't quite sure. Then I went ahead and went home. And then Kevin called and said we need to get something for his dad, and he wanted to go to Hobby Lobby. And so we're going back in the Hobby Lobby. She's still there, and I go, it was like a second chance, you know, and to be able to do that. So I thought, went ahead and gave some money to the Salvation Army. But I asked her if she, you know, if we could pray for her. She said yeah, and you got to give her a word. And I thought how important that is for sensitivity for all of us. You're not quite sure, we'll do it anyway. I mean, it really comes down to, you know, and my cowardness or whatever. If you're in, people are walking by, and here's a stranger who's blind, and you go up there, and different things you feel like. This is really foreign areas where you're just going to interject. But really, to come down, just say, can I pray for you? If they say yes, great. If they say no, then no. And so what could happen with that girl, that woman, you know, it could have changed her life forever. And it probably does, because that might be the only time Yahweh has ever vocally spoken to her.
Now, you're talking the Red Cross. You mean the Salvation
Army? Salvation Army. Yeah, Salvation Army. Yeah, it's Salvation Army. It has a little bell. Okay, but we're talking about the season of rejoicing and exalting. And exalt is a foreign word to us, but it's an English word. And it's actually correct, and it means to leap up. And ex is out of, ek, you know, in the Greek word out of, to leap up. And so we're going to see many places where Yahweh tells us to leap up and rejoice. And rejoicing is, both of these are verbs, rejoicing is to re-joy, to re-experience joy. So to rejoice, you have joy, and then you can rejoice. But things very important to our Father. And the word exalt is not in used in the correct way in the King James, in the New King James, in the NIV. So this word just really doesn't exist in the other Bibles. And so I had to look it up. I know what exalt means, E-X-A-L-T, but I don't know what exalt, E-X-U-L-T. And it means to leap up.
To jump.
Yeah. And so, I'll tell you what, we see this all the time. When a person wins a victory of a football game, what are they doing? They're exalting. Yeah. You know, if you get a lottery, you're going to exalt. If you see your husband who was in war and he surprised you when he came back, you're going to see exactly that kind of that emotion. So it's not, good to see you. No, you're going to go bonkers, what we're saying. So really, it is, think of to leap with joy. So we would maybe put three or four words on here, to leap for joy. You can see kids when they get something, and you're, I got it. And that is exalt. And that's what we're supposed to do with our Father.
Like that leaping and jumping and praising God.
Yeah, and that's a good example. Now we go to Deuteronomy 12. Okay, who tells us the first five books of the Bible? Isaiah?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers,
Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy. Do the right thing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 12. I'm trying to do the page numbers, but on page 211, we need to be familiar with especially these basic books. I did, though, when he was reading, teaching on Ruth, I lost Ruth. I was going, yeah, what was that?
Genesis?
Yeah, no, it was like, it was Esther, Nehemiah, Ruth. Esther, Nehemiah, I kept looking at that. Aaron probably starts seeing it. I'm looking over here, I'm like, I lost Ruth.
No, she's with Sean.
And then you're like, okay, they have to go back here, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like a minor prophet today. Like, no, it's before Samuel.
Yeah, so you have to really go back. And I thought it was right here. He kept going to the same place. No, Psalms begins right after Job. Where's Ruth? So I could have stopped Caban. Okay. Tell me what page number we're on.
Yeah, you'd have never lived that one down.
Yeah, I know. It's like Tim said, you got to fake it.
That's right. Right.
Just go along with like, it. Oh, I'm just looking at other chapters.
Unless I call on you to read.
Yeah, if I call on you to read. I don't have my glasses.
What are you talking about?
Okay. But this is great. This is on rejoicing. But look what Yahweh says. We're just going to have one verse after another. The context is going to the altar. But chapter 12, verse 7, that's the context of all these verses. And shall eat there before Yahweh, your Elohim, and rejoice in all whereunto you are putting your hand, ye and your household, wherein Yahweh thy Elohim have blessed thee. It's a commandment to do what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. I'm commanding you to rejoice. Now, the same chapter, verse 12, it goes over and over and over again. So shall ye rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your servants and your handmaids and the Levites that are within your gates, for as much as he hath neither portion nor inheritance with you. Verse 18. But before Yahweh thy Elohim shalt thou eat it in the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy servant and thy handmaid, and thy Levite, who is within thy gates, so shalt thou rejoice before Yahweh thy Elohim in all whereunto thou puttest thy hand. And that's the word, rejoice, is samach, which is 08055. It's used 152 times. We're going to exalt.
Spell it, please.
S-A-M-A-C-H. And then you have, this other one's a little different, G-L. It's actually spelled G-I-L, and that's exalt. It's only used 44 times, but Rotherham will translate exalt each time. And everybody else will put glad. And so you're looking at the etymology of words, and glad has nothing really to do with jumping up and down. You know, and so you're looking at, we're really missing the concept of to exalt, which I'm an adult, I don't do. Yes, you're supposed to do that. And I think of David leaping before, dancing before the Ark of the Covenant when he's bringing it into Jerusalem. Now we go to Psalms 31, and we're going to see exalt, which is GL, and rejoicing, Samach, together. Psalms 31:7. And so, Isaiah, will you read 31:7?
Just read
that
down. What page?
542. Psalms, right in the middle of the book.
31:7? 31:7, you said?
Yeah, 30. Well, let these guys get there. Okay. 542.
Psalms should be dead center of the Bible.
Psalms 31. Verse 7. Go ahead.
I will indeed exult and rejoice in thy loving kindness, in that thou hast looked upon my humiliation. Thou hast taken note that in distress was my life.
So, yeah, I will indeed exult and rejoice in thy chesed. Isn't that great? Now, if you go to 32:11. Rejoice in Yahweh and exult, O you righteous. Yea, shout in triumph, all you upright in heart. Yeah, isn't that just great? What a great time to be celebrating Christ's birth, which is really, to the best of our knowledge, was Tishri 1, which was, if you go over that, Tishri 1 was Genesis 1:3, when he said, let there be light. And, you know, he's the light of the world.
What do you mean, Tishri 1? I thought Tishri was a month.
Yeah, it is. Tishri 1. And, but really, Tishri 1, this is off the track, was the beginning of creation. Okay. But not Genesis 1:1. It would be Genesis 1:3 because they had to redo it. And that's when the calendar started, was Tishri 1. And Adam and animals were made on the 6th of Tishri. You know, so we're going to say Christ was born on Tishri 1, which is more like September, which makes sense. And even Bollinger said this, Werwolf said this, and even we had John Kitto said this, because the Tishri became the seventh month, because Nisan became the first month, so they switched after the Passover. But it's the seventh month, and it has three sacred events. Tishri 1 is the day of shouting, Tishri 10 is the day of propitiation, and Tishri 15th is the festival of booths. So what a greater time for to call all the people in to do your
census.
Yeah, census, except on the most popular month of the year, and harvest is over. So harvest is done. That's and people are celebrating. So Tishri 1 would have been a good time where everybody's coming anyway. And that's where you're going to sign up for the census. That's beside the point, but now we go to 32:11. Now we do a 149 Psalm.
Whoa,
32:11
or
what? No, 149. I already read that. But I'm glad that the people were at, we celebrate Christ's birth. And so this is a good time as any. It's probably better because we have usually a week off, except for Tim.
Christmas and New Year's. 8:609.
Okay.
6:05.
Good. But this is a wonderful celebration right here in Psalm 149, 1 through 5. Praise ye Yah.
Sing to. 148.
Psalm 149, verse 1. That's right after 148. That's the one right after 148. Praise ye Yah. Sing to Yahweh a song that is new. Is praise in the convocation of the men of Hesed. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. There's rejoice. Let the sons of Zion exult in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. With timbrel and lyre, let them make music to him. For Yahweh is taking pleasure in his people. He will beautify humbled ones with victory. Let the men of Hesed exult as they glory. Let them shout aloud upon their beds. Isn't that wonderful there? It shows you the exuberance that we're supposed to have, that freedom that we're supposed to have. Instead of looking at what we don't have, we should be looking at what we do have and to what we're going to have. Mm-hmm. Now we go into Christ and we get to see the adversity. You know, a lot of times we say, well, if I've got heavy burdens upon me, I'm not going to be rejoicing. Yes, you are. And so we go to Luke 4:16. Huh. I'm supposed to rejoice in bad times too? I'm not rejoicing because of the bad times. I'm rejoicing because I'm going to live on a new earth. I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I got a holy rook within me. And in Luke, that's page 60. We're going to have to get you to memorize your Bibles again, Isaiah.
New Testament.
Isaiah. Nice. We're in the New Testament. Luke.
You guys help each other
out. We shouldn't have to tell you about the New Testament, guys. Especially Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those are the four Gospels, right?
Right.
And John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very simple to memorize. Not a hard word at all. We have to do some drills. And Aaron did a teaching in 2015. I'm going through the 2015 teachings. And really, we usually register success on how many people come and take what we're selling. And that's not the case. That's not what Yahweh does. Many times on the man who was legion, who he went over to Gesaithus, I think it was, they sailed all the way over there. He had to stop the river, the storm of the hurricane and everything else. And then he delivered the man from Decapolis, from legion, all these demons, and the people told him, we don't want you.
Take a hike.
So that was one person that he changed his life. Corey, if you came back and you put in your log on a salesperson, I didn't even break even on that gig. I lost money on the whole thing. Okay. But Yahweh had one person. So he made that trip for that person because Yahweh would know and the other people, and they became accountable when they turned it down. So when we don't have the numbers, that shouldn't faze us at all, because what we're going to see is if we're walking in the light, generally it's going to be just the opposite. And we're going to see with Christ in Nazareth. So Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 16. He's in the hometown, kid. And he came into Nazareth where he had been brought up, and entering according to his custom on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. Now we're going to skip, go to 22, summarize it. And they all were bearing witness to him and marveling at the words of favor which were proceeding out of his mouth. And they were saying, is not this the son of Joseph or Yosef? And he said unto them, by all means you will speak to me this similitude, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever things we have heard of coming to pass in where Capernaum, which is, was his hometown at this time, do here also in thy own country. We want to see some signs. And we're going to enter Capernaum in a minute. Now we go to verse 28. And all were filled with wrath. This is his hometown. In the synagogue, as they heard these things, and rising up, they thrust him forth outside the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which the city was built, so that they might throw him down headlong. Great reception for the hometown. And we get offended if we're asked not to come to a church when it comes down to it, or not to come to somebody's house because of what we stand. The Yahweh, who has been represented by his son, is ejected from the synagogue from Nazareth. We don't want your kind around here. How? Now if you go to chapter 10, remember Capernaum is his hometown where he's working out of. Chapter 10, 10 through 16. But into whatsoever city you shall enter, and he's saying this to the 72, or 70, and into whatsoever city you shall enter, and they do not welcome you, going forth into the broad ways whereunto say ye, even the dust that cleaveth unto us out of your city unto your unto our feet do we wipe off against you. And we can do the same thing today. With family members, with friends, with anything else, and we bring the message and you say, not here. It's not wanted here. Nevertheless, of this be taken notice, the kingdom of Yahweh hath drawn near to you. I tell you, for them of Sodom in that day, more tolerable will it be than for that city. Let's listen to these cities. Alas with thee, Chorazin. Alas with thee, Bethsaida. Because if in Tyre and Sidon have been done the works of power which have been done in you, of old in sackcloth and ashes, sitting they would have repented. There's two other cities he just, that rejected him. Nazareth, now Chorazin, and Bethsaida, Bethsaida, more for Tyre and Sidon, more tolerable will be for the judgment than for you. And thou Capernaum, my present hometown. Unto heaven shall thou be uplifted, unto Sheol shall thou be brought down. He that hearkeneth unto you, unto me doth hearken. And when we speak, it's the same way. If I've got the scriptures to back up what we're speaking, he that hearkeneth unto Wendy is hearkening unto Christ. And he that sets you aside, to set Christ aside. And he that set me aside, that set him that sent me. That's Christ. When you think of, here's the son of Yahweh, that people would be, if he came in today's city, into Wichita, the churches would do the same thing. Sad to say. And I hope this fellowship would not. And so if a person came in looking like, a vagrant, or very unappealing, that would come down and would open up the words, that we would hearken and listen to it. If the word said it, that's it, and change our hearts. Why, with us, we were into a Christmas service, and they're talking about Jesus being the creator of the universe and God being born and Mary, don't even think about changing God's diapers and breastfeeding God. And I mean, all this stuff goes along with this. And this is coming out of our church, and it's been coming out for a long, long time. But so Christ would not tolerate that. Now, but we know, so Capernaum, we got Nazareth, we got other cities that you think you're so welcomed. No? Now, how about Jerusalem? Let's go to chapter 13. The religious hotspot of the world. So think about your big church, your mega church, and allowing you to come up there and speak. It's not going to happen. And that could be a real compliment, not an insult. And you would hope they would do, because we're trying to deliver them from the power of darkness. But here's verse 34, Isaiah.
Verse 34, okay. 34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, she that slayeth the prophets and stone them are sent to unto her. How often have I desired to gather together thy children, like as her own blood under her wings, and ye did not desire.
That's it. So you know who killed? Where was he killed? Murdered in the holy capital of the world. Actually, it is Zion, which is Yahweh's dwelling place, future dwelling place. Now we go to Matthew chapter 5. Remember Matthew, Mark, and Luke, first book. So we got to paint our children to our children, our grandchildren, our parents, everybody else. This is how life is. Don't be surprised by being rejected. Don't be surprised that people don't want to hang around with you. Actually, it should be expected. Thank Yahweh that we're in a situation where we're not arrested. So in old times, in England even, if you did not believe in the Trinity, it was a criminal offense. And that was part of their national law. And so, thank God we're in this particular time. Chapter 5, verse 11, verse to 12. You want to read that, Caven? Yes. Page 4.
What
was the one? 11
through
12.
Well,
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
There. Happy are ye whensoever they may reproach you, and persecute you, and say every evil thing against you falsely for my sake.
Now what is going to tell you when this happens? Go ahead and read. 12.
Rejoice and exult.
Wow!
Yeah.
Get excited! Ha! You're like, wait a minute here, I'm not invited to their Christmas party. I'm allowed to go into their church. Aaron and I were at a pastor's luncheons that we go to, and we're not allowed to pray for people. They ask us not to pray for people because there was a prophecy, because we don't believe in the Trinity. And we're like, that's fine, but Christ still wants us to go. And they know they keep showing up. And then they were doing a teaching. A guy was how he was delivering Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, who was a Jehovah's Witnesses. And the pastor next to me said, do you realize this is about Jesus being a deity? And I said, yeah. It's like, what are you doing here? Because this is, you're supposed to be feeling very uncomfortable. No, it's actually just the opposite. So what I did is, the person who was giving the teaching was very nice. I sent him a letter on Rotherham Bible. He lives in Missouri. And try to pull him out of the air that he's been brought into. So we have to be confident. I'm not, you know, ashamed and ridiculed, actually. And then he can see, why doesn't he feel, isn't that like a prostitute in church? Isn't he really sweating now because of his deviation? Be like, no. So it's a good witness. But look at that. When you're persecuted, when somebody says, you know, and that's the Democratic Party, shout them about Jesus, heck no, and I'm going to rejoice and exalt because, 12, why, Caven? Because, verse 12, because
rejoice
you're,
and exalt because,
you know, you say it loud.
Rejoice and exalt because your reward is great in heaven.
Ah, what? Our rewards are where?
So
in heaven.
Great
in the heavens. And so we're looking at our big IRA plan, mm-hmm. you know, retirement plan. Great in the heavens. Now we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, page 238 in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Isaiah's got to look at which way I'm going to turn on my Bible. Very subtle. I got some eye contact.
I think Cave is right there with very good company. Just fake it.
Yeah, it's like 238.
Old
it's
old or New Testament 238.
Left, right.
That's all right. I didn't want to bust you, but you have a good sense of humor. Quit breaking my chops. You know what somebody says? Quit busting my chops. 1:6-9. Chapter 1 Peter 1:6-9. Elijah.
Wherein ye exult.
You jump for joy. Wherein? Jump for joy, because you're going to get the snot beat out of you. Go ahead.
Though for a little, just now, if needful, put to grief in manifold temptations, in order that the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold, than perisheth, even though by means of fire it is proved, may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. whom, not having seen, ye love, on whom, though at present not looking but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable, and filled with joy, with glory, being about to bear away the end of your faith in a salvation of souls.
Isn't that great? Look at that. On whom at present not looking but believing you exult with joy unspeakable. Because you haven't seen him. But think of how impressed Christ is with all of us. You know, we never had a Paul conversion where somebody hit you over, you know, with a lightning bolt. Chapter 4, verse 12.
Makes me think of the movie Unbreakable with the bird man trying to break the guy.
Oh, yeah. But we got to keep our vision. We're looking at the wrong thing. We got to be looking at what we have and the new earth and getting to see Christ. And he's going to be so proud of us. And I've made the decision. It's me and him. And if you hate Christ, you're going to hate me. Real simple that. If you hate Christ, you're going to hate me. And if you don't, I'm not a disciple of Christ. Yeah. It really comes down to.
Okay, what did you say for what?
Chapter 4, verse 12-14, Isaiah.
Chapter 4:12-14. Okay. 4-13.
I'll get 12. Beloved, be not held in surprise by the burning among you. That's, whoa. Which for putting you to the proof has befallen you, as though a surprising thing was happening to you. But insofar as you are taking fellowship in the Christ's suffering, do what?
Rejoice.
And that's not just joy, it's rejoice. So when the Democratic Party comes against Trump and everybody else, you know, I get depressed. No, I should be rejoicing. Because they're coming against Christ, they're coming against me.
Yes, okay.
In order that in the revealing of the glory also, you may rejoice with exultation to be jumping up. If you are being reproached in the name of Christ, what?
Happy.
Cayman, we're going to have a party, but Christ's not invited, but you're invited. You know what that says?
That's possibly not.
I'm not coming. Mm-hmm. If Christ isn't coming, if Christ is not being there, I'm not coming. Because the spirit of the glory and the Ruach of Elohim unto you is bringing rest. And now we go to 2 Corinthians 6, page 184. Now here is the life of an apostle. And what's sad is what most people who call them today apostles today are not experiencing this at all. So this is usually the sign of an apostle. 4-10. But in everything, commending ourselves as Yahweh's minister, this is Paul talking about apostles, they're being attacked, in much endurance, in tribulation, in necessities, in straits, in stripes, in imprisonment, in turmoils, in toils, in watching, in fasting, in sanctity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in graciousness, in holy ruach, in love unfringed, in discourse of truth, in power of Yahweh. Though the weapons of righteousness are on the right hand and left, th- through glory and dishonor, though that through bad report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and lo, we live, as disciplined and yet not put to death, as grieving yet ever what?
Rejoicing.
After all that, as destitute, yet making many rich, as holding nothing, and yet firmly holding all things. That is apostle. Those are the prophets. And we'll finish up in Philippians 4. Everybody knows that the word rejoice is all the way through Philippians, and he's in prison. Philippians chapter 4, page 204. Okay, Melania, with feeling, 4 through 7. Chapter 4, 4 through 7.
4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your
considerateness
be known unto all men. The Lord is near, for nothing be anxious, but in everything, by your prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Elohim. And the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua.
Is that right? But was it rejoice in Yahweh always? And I will say rejoice. For nothing be anxious. And, you know, that's not my story. But that's what I'm attaining to. For nothing be anxious. What is that? For nothing be anxious. But sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Do I have today's stuff? Yes. Cool. I mean, that's it. That's George Mueller. Cool. That's it. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's rejoice and leap in joy. Okay?
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you. I'll have a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14 for the people. Well, Father, we thank you for these words through Christ our Lord. Thank you, Christ, for making it all possible. You're our Redeemer, Savior, our King. That would be our future King. And we can't wait for you to rule the new earth and to be at your right hand and your left hand assisting you. So we thank you, Father, for these words through Christ. Be at peace and know that I abide within you and I abide within everyone who believes and acts upon my word. Action is very important. To be near to me is to act on my words. Speak my words into your heart. Speak what I have to say to others around you. Envelop them into my love and my kindness and said and laughter and joy that you completely do not fit into this world because of your attitude in life and what you have upon your lips in your heart is being manifest to an ungodly world that you are the difference between light and day or night and day. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.